Case number one, 24-591.
There's no appellant.
No appellant.
So we usually give the hour, so it's...
We'll skip that one and go to 23-585. Plymouth?
I'd just like to put on record, and for the chief also, my previous capacity when I was with DEEP as their director of law enforcement, I was involved in an investigation, and I'm not sure if the family or this their business was the complainants. It would have been around 2018, 2017. They were not the subject of the investigation. They were complainants. I came to your office and took statements. I don't know if you were there, if it was your brothers, or I'm not sure if you recall. But they were not the complainants. They were the complainants, not the subject of the investigation. I just wanted to make sure you guys were both okay with me still hearing the case.
Yes, sir.
Okay. No, I just wanted to put it on the record, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Would you identify yourself and spell your name, please?
Chief Karen Krasicki for the Police Department. Common spelling, Karen, last name K-R-A-S, as in Sierra, I-C-K-Y.
Thank you. And are you an attorney representing?
I am.
And your name, sir?
Attorney James Cummings. C-U-M-M-I-N-G-S.
Thank you.
Do we have...
What's that?
Did we have...
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
I see. I'm sorry. Okay.
Your statement, ma'am?
I denied the appellant's application to obtain a temporary pistol based on suitability.
Do you want to make a brief statement, sir?
Very briefly, yes. There was a report by the Plymouth Police Department and concerning the denial of a temporary permit. It references a number of instances of police involvement by the Fairfield Police Department between my client, the appellant, and his wife. They were going through, at the time, a very tumultuous divorce. There were a number of complaints, but all of them, not one of them, resulted in an arrest. They were all simply verbal arguments between the two of them. I think they were both improperly served by their counsel, in as much as my client was advised to, whenever there was an argument, to involve the police to make sure there was a record of it. I think that was very poor advice on part of his attorneys. It did
We don't need your whole case now, just briefly.
There were no arrests during any of these incidents, and so I believe he does have the character to the issue.
Thank you. And the basis for your decision, ma'am?
I have something I'd like to read into the record. Would I do that now or at my closing statement?
No.
This is your time to put your case on.
All right, thank you. I reviewed the appellant's pistol permit application and the accompanying documentation regarding his request to obtain a temporary state permit to carry pistols and revolvers. A nationwide state and local records check was completed on him with respect to this request, which revealed various information. After carefully reviewing the extensive amount of information that was provided to me, I denied his request for a temporary state permit to carry pistols and revolvers. I compiled a letter with the reasons for my denial, which included a synopsis of each of the police contacts in which the appellant was involved, and sent it to him via certified mail, which you, the honorable members of the Board of Fire and Permit Examiners, also have in your possession. In the interest in time, in lieu of reading the 8 pages of that letter that contains the detailed information, I'm providing you with a summary of said information. Between December 2015 and May 2022, according to the police reports that I received, the appellant had 19 contacts with the Fairfield Police Department. Although up to April 27, 2020, a Fairfield Department police report indicated there had been 27 calls for service, mainly for arguments, breach of the peace. A brief synopsis of the complaints between the aforementioned time frame are as follows. In December 2015, the appellant's wife filed a complaint that he left his firearm in his 9-year-old son's room, to which he admitted leaving his jeans and the firearm in his son's room, with 5 rounds in the magazine but none in the chamber because he never keeps a round in the chamber. His wife met with a DCF worker because his 9-year-old son allegedly told her that in the past the appellant let him shoot a BB gun and hold a real firearm. At this time, the appellant held a valid Connecticut state pistol permit, which, along with his firearm and magazines, he turned over to a trooper from the state police firearms unit. The trooper confirmed he was in violation of regulatory statute responsibilities, RE storage of loaded firearms. In January 2016, the appellant allegedly left a loaded magazine on the floor in his son's bedroom, which his wife found and turned into the Fairfield Police Department. On a subsequent January date to his wife allegedly finding the loaded magazine in his son's bedroom, she provided a Fairfield police officer with a copy of a civil document that was created by both their attorneys and signed by both of them that all weapons and ammunition were supposed to be removed from the home. And she produced an ex parte restraining order that was issued on December 30th, 2015, and that expired on January 13th, 2016, as a result of the December 2015 incident, which stated the appellant was to lock and secure all weapons and ammunition. So she believed he violated the order when she found the loaded magazine in his son's bedroom prior to the expiration date of the order. The appellant's Connecticut state pistol permit was ultimately revoked on February 24th, 2016. Please note, in the appellant's application that he submitted to our department with respect to the question, have you had a firearms permit, permit application, or eligibility certificate of any kind from any jurisdiction in the United States denied, suspended, or revoked, the appellant checked the no box. Between January 2016 and May 2022, there were multiple alleged verbal arguments, alleged assaults, alleged thefts, well-being checks, alleged mental health issues, alleged substance abuse issues, etc. Complaints that were made by the appellant, his wife and then ex-wife, his son and a friend, with multiple incidents where allegations by the appellant and his wife and then ex-wife were made by each of them against the other, in which there were conflicting versions of what transpired, and incidents which allegedly involved anger and aggression. The appellant was also the subject of a Family Violence Protective Order from February 10, 2017 through June 15, 2017, a duration of 125 days, based on a charge of disorderly conduct which was nollied on June 15, 2017. The last two police requests for service were for well-being checks in May 2022, which involved alleged substance abuse by the appellant and are most concerning, especially the one on May 21st, 2022, when the responding officer observed the appellant was intoxicated by an unknown substance due to his inability to stand or walk straight, slurring of his words, shaking of his hands, and the appellant telling the officer he drank approximately a half liter of vodka, but he was not suicidal, yet he made comments he drank everything, finished it all, and drank as much as he could, and in which his son told the officer he suffers from drug addiction, that he believed the appellant was intoxicated by something other than alcohol, and in which his ex-wife told the officer he struggles with oxycodone, crack cocaine, and alcohol, that he went to rehab in January of 2022, and that he needs help. And based on the comments made by him, his son, and his ex-wife, the officer determined the appellant was unable to care for himself and was a danger to himself. So the officer completed a police request for emergency evaluation form, and he was transported to the hospital. There was also a well-being check a week later when his friend called the police department and an officer responded to the appellant's home, met with his friend, who told the officer he spoke to the appellant prior to him calling the police. And the appellant seemed very intoxicated and wanted to go to detox treatment. But when he came to pick up the appellant, he did not answer the door. Entry was made, the appellant was not there, and dispatch stated he was currently already at the hospital. It is also most concerning that these two incidents occurred only about 5 months prior to the Plymouth Police Department's receipt of the appellant's application to obtain a temporary state permit to carry pistols and revolvers on October 25th, 2022. I denied the appellant's request for a temporary state permit to carry pistols and revolvers based on suitability. The law does not define suitability, which is left to the official's discretion, and it does not limit what officials may consider when determining suitability. The police department is entitled to consider anything which pertains to a person's conduct, judgment, character, reputation, habits, behavior, and its bearing on his or her suitability to carry a handgun. The government's interest is to protect the safety of the general public from individuals whose conduct has shown them to be lacking the essential character or temperament necessary to be entrusted with a weapon. The fact should provide a logical inference that the person poses some danger to the public if allowed to carry a weapon outside the home or business. I do not find the appellant to be a suitable candidate to possess a temporary state permit to carry pistols and revolvers, because as you can see from the information contained in the named police reports, he has repeatedly demonstrated that he lacks the essential character necessary to be entrusted with a weapon due to his very poor conduct, judgment, character, habits, and behavior, all of which I believe pose some danger to the public if he is allowed to carry a weapon outside the home or business. Thank you.
Do you have questions for the issuing authority?
I do. Chief, were you present at any of these matters of police involvement?
I'm sorry?
Were you ever present?
No, sir, I was not. It's happened at Fairfield.
Yes, and did you speak to the officers that were involved?
I did not. I just went by the reports I was here.
You mentioned an issue with regard to alcohol and made allegations concerning drugs. Did you ever get any of the toxicology reports from any of the hospitals or rehab that the appellant went to?
No, sir, I did not.
So you have made allegations of drug use and alcohol abuse, but you have not received any record of any of that, correct? Other than an allegation made?
I base it on the Fairfield police officer's police report.
Okay. Do you know if in their police report they got a toxicology report which showed that there were no drugs in the appellant's?
In the report I read, I did not see anything that referenced that.
Okay. So other than in the report making an allegation of it, there is no subjective evidence of any of those allegations being accurate, correct?
I don't know if they were accurate or not, but I don't have it in my possession, sir.
Are you aware of any police involvement after the appellant had gotten his divorce?
I don't know when he got his divorce, exactly.
Okay. And has your police department been involved in any way, shape, or form with any incident concerning the appellant?
No.
Nothing further.
Questions from the board?
I just have one. Chief, when did the protective order expire that you referenced? I missed it. Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. It went into effect February 10, 2017 and expired June 15, 2017.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions from the board? Your case, sir?
Thank you. Sir, you heard the chief go over a number of past incidents that occurred between you and your ex-wife, correct?
Yes, sir.
And those started approximately around 2015?
Yes, sir.
Was that about when your marriage was breaking down?
Yes, sir.
Did you call the police on a number of occasions on your wife for arguments that the two of you had?
Yes, sir.
In any of those instances, were either you or your wife arrested?
No.
Was your wife repeatedly advised as to potential mental health services that she could take advantage of?
Yes, sir.
Did she ever do that?
No, sir.
Were either one of you ever arrested at any of these incidents? Were you ever accused of any violence during any of these incidents?
No, sir.
Did they all involve verbal arguments?
Yes,
between
sir.
You and your wife? There was some allegation of alcohol and drug abuse, correct?
Yes, sir.
And there were specifically two instances, one where you admitted to being intoxicated and another where you checked yourself into a rehab facility, correct?
A detox.
Okay, did you successfully complete that?
Yeah, it was a detox. It was not a rehab, it was a detox.
And what was it specifically for?
Alcohol.
There were some allegations of drug use and abuse that were alleged against you. Have you ever used drugs or any drug user or abuser?
Not at all.
Can you tell the board what you do for a living?
I own Eliminate and Pest Control Services in four states. You know, I hold supervisory in Connecticut and also in Massachusetts. I hold NUCO licenses in Connecticut and in New York State. successful business for 38 years now, over 40 employees. We have over $100,000 payroll every 2 weeks. I've never missed a payroll, never missed a tax payment. We have about 35 vehicles in Terryville. We pay taxes on them every year. You know, across the board, you know, prior to my divorce and after my divorce, you know, divorce was tumultuous, without a doubt, you know, something. I want her to be happy. It's just not my job anymore. But, you know, I can't see any reason why I can't exercise my Second Amendment rights. It's something, never been arrested, don't have any record whatsoever. You know, perfect credit rating across the board. Many happy employees, some of them second generation employees, as a matter of fact. It's important to have a NUCO license with your firearms permit, with your NUCO license, you know, something for obvious reasons. Yes, ma'am.
You're obviously using an acronym, and I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's a nuisance control license for animals in both in Connecticut and in New York.
Thank you.
So, you know, it's like Attorney Cummins said, it was, you know, divorces are definitely crazy, and it was tumultuous, you know, the whole time. There is no drug use whatsoever. Alcohol use, you know, some there was, without a doubt. I apologize for any of that. And I was like, you know, we both move forward with our lives. You know, I've never missed an alimony payment, ever. I have great relationships with both of my boys. You know, something we pray every night together. It's a good thing. They both go to school in Fairfield. Both one goes to school in Fairfield, one works for my company. So really beyond that, I don't have much else to say.
Did you, in response to these allegations, go see a psychiatrist, Charles Alexander?
Yes.
And did he provide you with a report concerning your fitness to carry a weapon?
He did.
I have a copy of the report if you...
Don't we have that?
No.
Letters of recommendation that I had submitted with my appeal. There were five of them.
So we have the 10-day rule? And there should have been supplied to the PD also, and the board 10 days prior to the hearing. So it's sort of up to the chair on what she wants to
and
do.
And by submitting medical records or a letter now, you're asking the board to quickly digest and review and analyze those things with zero, and the issuing authority with zero notice.
If I may add one thing, in reference to Dr. Charles Alexander, he was the one who had seen my wife, my boys, and me during the divorce. So he's very familiar with the divorce and the proceedings that went on. And so I went to him post, you know, by the advice of my counsel, to go to him to see if he felt that I was, you know, healthy enough and, you know, in to hold a license. And he said, absolutely.
So, if Dr. Alexander had recommended that you continue with treatment, would you have done so?
Of course.
Did he recommend that you needed any further treatment?
Not at all.
Okay. And there are some letters of reference in the appeal that was filed.
Yeah, we have those.
So that's all I have. You have anything else you want to tell them?
Thank you for your time this morning. You know, and your patience.
And thank you.
Do you have questions for the appellant?
I know he made reference that there were no acts of violence. There were alleged acts of violence by both of them, him against her and her against him. She alleged on two incidents he threw hot coffee at her. He alleged that she pushed him to the ground at one point, and then she alleged she was injured, and she re-injured her finger, and the son was present and yelled at him and said, stop it. So there were, based on what the Fairfield officers found, because of the he said, she said, there was nothing to substantiate on either side, whether one was true or the other, so they did not make arrests. But there were alleged acts of violence that he claimed his wife did to him and vice versa. I just wanted that on the record. And he did, on his pistol permit application, say he was never revoked, and he was. It was revoked, so that was not true.
Questions from the board?
What's your current relationship with your ex-wife?
Well, I send her an alimony check via PayPal every month. They live in Fairfield, so my residence is in Terryville. And really, there's not much communication via email. That's it. If something, she doesn't bother me. I don't bother her. Again, I said, I want her to be happy, you know, something, live happily ever after. It's not necessarily my job to do that anymore, but, you know, something I hope she is.
So, I want to put words in your mouth, but has there been any friction between you and your ex-wife since the divorce?
Zero.
Okay. And custody of the children?
Well, they're both of age, so one's 23 and one's 19.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions from the board? Yes, sir.
I was just going to ask, how come you didn't acknowledge that you had a previous permit revoked?
I don't really recall that, to be honest with you. I would never lie on an application, that's for sure. I'm not really honestly sure what she's talking about, to be truthfully honest with you. I would never lie on an application. There's no reason to. It's a record of everything.
So did you have a pistol permit?
I did. Previous?
And what happened to that permit?
I did. Well, you know, absolutely nothing, supposedly, because when the incident happened, and she said that there was a loaded gun in my son's room. It wasn't his room, it was a guest room, which I was in at the time. He was not even in the room. He came in later during the night. She took a picture of my pants that had a lump in the pants, which was a small Kel-Tec weapon, and she brought the picture of the pants to the police. They came to the house, they took that weapon. They later came and took, you know, I had a couple in the safe. They took that and they took my permit. Nothing ever happened. There were no charges filed. Everything was dropped. They gave me my weapons back. I have the weapons today, but they never gave me my permit back. So I let it go. You know, I was in a divorce. You know, something that I thought, you know, it was a better judgment just to let it go for the time being. Then post-divorce, I went back to take another course and to try to get my permit and my residence in Terryville. And that's when all this accumulated and came to fruition.
Okay. All right, so you don't you didn't recall that at the time of the application, or you didn't understand the question, or you didn't sort of answer the question?
No, because it was never really revoked. It was just, they took it and never gave it back. You know, what they said was they were gonna give all the information to a judge, which they did, and then they said, you know, something, he dropped it. He said, there's nothing really here. That's exactly what happened, but they never gave me the permit back. I didn't argue with them or, you know, at the time it just seemed like, okay, it's what it is. Yeah, but they did give me my weapons back. They had me come down there and grab all my weapons.
Where's there?
Fairfield Police, sir.
How long have you lived in Terryville?
I've had my offices there since 2012.
Where do you live?
Well, I live sometimes in Terryville. I also have an apartment in Bridgeport.
And Terryville is a part of Plymouth?
It is.
Yeah. Okay, where do you live, though? You can't have two residences. What is your driver's license?
It says 38 Beach Avenue, Terryville. That's my permanent residence.
Are you confident he lives in your township?
According to his license, he lives there. Then do a home to verify that, sir.
Because we can't, even if you were going to get a permit, we can't order the chief to issue you a permit if you don't live in your town.
No,
so
yeah.
So it's important that you're accurate here.
Yeah, I understood.
That has to be your principal residence.
Yes, it is.
Okay. I'm sorry, I interrupted.
Oh, other questions?
So part of the... There were a lot of allegations in the, and I will say the chief was probably the most detailed denial letter I've ever seen. Thank you, chief. But so there was no surprises for the hearing on either side. But part of it was there was at least one, you know, emergency police evaluation, a peer report that the chief mentioned, in which you were sent to the hospital for an evaluation. And in our letter, it's like we'd like to see the discharge papers regarding that. I don't know if you recall that in our letter to you, part of the denial.
No, I don't recall that.
So that just helps to find out. We ask for that up front when there's a question regarding that, so we, you know, we know what happened with the peer.
So it was a detox.
Yep.
So when you say detox, you distinguish that from rehab, I think.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you drink today?
Occasionally.
Other questions from the board?
So, your residence in Terryville, describe it for us.
My residence? I have two buildings in Terryville. I have a bedroom there, kitchens there, you know, accommodations for my employees, large parking lot, storage facilities. Since 2012, I added another building.
I think what he's getting at is a business.
It appears to be a business front, so you're just because you have a break room in there, you're claiming that as your residence. or is that just your business?
Well, it's not just a break room, it's, you know, I've lived there off and on for a long time. So it made sense for me to claim my residence there, you know. During the divorce, living quarters were up in the air, for sure. You know, where she was going to live, where I was going to live, where the kids were going to be.
Please understand, we're talking about today, not during the divorce. Where,
yeah. Well, I have to place
and
the
you should
residence.
Talk to your attorney, because if that somehow is not accurate, remember, you're under oath.
Yes.
And that has to be your principal residence, and just make sure that's accurate.
I have two residences, and maybe that clarifies it.
Does
is that fair enough?
When did you get the residence in Bridgeport?
Let me just ask you this.
Yeah.
You have an apartment in Bridgeport.
Yes.
Why do you keep that apartment there?
Because you know, I needed another place that wasn't at my business that I could stay at too. It's not that I can't stay in my business like 24/7. I also go down to Fort Lauderdale a lot. I have a boat in Fort Lauderdale.
But I asked you that because you had indicated that where's your son go to school?
Fairfield.
And does he play sports?
He does. He's on the varsity lacrosse team.
And do you use that apartment to go see his sports game?
Yeah, and to accommodate him too if he needs to. You know, he's not going to go all the way up to Terryville.
More often than not, where do you rest your head every night before you go to bed? Is it Terryville or Bridgeport?
It's a split, I'm going to say.
Where do you receive mail?
At Terryville.
And what's on your driver's license? What address?
38 Beach Avenue, Terryville.
Other questions?
Well, just that's it's still problematic to me, but and I'm sure others. I do have some questions.
Yes, sir.
The chief mentioned the case, and you mentioned it a little bit too, that with the 9-year-old and
yes,
the gun. Is that accurate the way she described it? Other than you say it's not his bedroom.
It's not accurate.
Was the gun properly secured according to law?
I believe that it was. You know, the inside story on that scenario was that when I came home and I went up to my bedroom, like I did every night, to my closet, we have a walk-in closet there, she had locked the door, I couldn't get into my bedroom, so I had to sleep somewhere else, so I went to the guest room, there's a trundle bed in there, you know, I pulled out the trundle bed, and I took off my pants, I got ready for bed, I went to sleep, nobody was in the room but myself, at all. He came in apparently during the middle of the night to sleep with daddy. Something, and my pants were over, as I remember, over a chair, with the Caltech was in my pocket. Yes, it was. And she came in at 5 a.m. apparently took pictures of my pants. And the pictures of my pants were what she brought down to the police.
Was there a trigger lock?
It was on safety.
Okay. Was there a trigger lock on the gun?
No, there was not.
Could the 9-year-old have gotten the gun? You didn't know he came in the room.
Yeah, I can't say no, but I can't say this, there were no charges filed.
Okay, that's not what I asked either.
Understood.
Someone else just brought up the emergency, the police request for exam, the emergency exam.
Yes, sir.
Which hospital did you go to?
I believe it was Bridgeport Hospital.
How long were you there?
I believe for 2 days, maybe 3.
So what happened? You went into the emergency room and they checked you out. Then were you admitted?
They detoxed me.
Okay. Were you admitted?
Oh, yes. I believe so. It's my recollection.
Okay.
Yes.
Were you admitted to a psych ward?
No.
Where were you admitted? What would you care about?
I believe right in the hallway there and then to a bedroom. A hospital bedroom, sir.
Okay. Tell us about your alcohol abuse. You mentioned that you were drinking a lot. Obviously, you were sent to the hospital and you had to go through detox there. And then you went to an inpatient.
Did not go to an inpatient.
Oh, no, it was outpatient?
Yeah, I didn't go to an outpatient either.
Oh, no, I thought you said you went somewhere.
That was just a detox.
Just on that incident?
Yes.
That one day? I'm sorry, I thought it was more than that.
No problem.
When was the last time you had any alcohol?
This week I had a drink.
When was the last time you were drunk?
During my divorce.
You're going to have to help me with the dates. I don't know when you had a divorce.
I was divorced on December 14th, 2021.
So you haven't had any alcohol? You haven't been drunk since?
No.
2021. When was the last time you had any illegal drugs? Marijuana?
I don't do drugs at all, sir.
Have you ever?
Prescribed drugs.
No, illegal drugs.
No.
Or misused prescribed drugs.
No.
That would be another one. And your attorney mentioned you had a letter or something from someone treating you. Do you have the medical records from that hospital visit, including the detox?
Probably.
No, I meant here today.
No, sir.
That's, as Colonel said, we asked specifically for that, because that would tell us.
I got you.
What they did, what the evaluation found, what your blood alcohol level was, what the detox was about, what was recommended after treatment. Was there any treatment recommended after that visit?
Well, I don't recall.
Did you go to any treatment after that visit?
Did not.
Tell us about the psychiatrist or treater that your attorney mentioned in the letter. Is that someone you saw just for this hearing, or is that related to your detox?
So we saw him during the divorce. He was seeing my son, so there was some communication back and forth with myself, with Dr. Alexander, with my ex-wife and my son. And after that, didn't see him at all. There was no recommendation for that, but I did see him for an evaluation for this hearing.
And when was that hearing? When was that evaluation?
I believe it was close to a month ago, a couple weeks, maybe a month ago.
And why did you do that?
By advice of my counsel.
Okay. And counsel didn't ask, you didn't ask to get the medical records, or the counsel didn't advise you to get your medical records from the emergency committal?
No, sir.
That would have been helpful.
Understood.
And maybe even the letter had it been timely. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Other questions from the board?
Just a point of clarification. If you saw the psychiatrist a month ago.
Yes, ma'am.
When did he actually compose the letter? So I'm confused as to why we didn't receive it ahead of time.
He composed it, composed it April 26th, and I didn't get it till last Friday. And at that time, I was out of town, and I only got that on Tuesday.
Any other questions? Would you like to
Is he able to, even though the letter wasn't submitted to the board, is the appellant allowed to read the contents of the letter into the record as part of his testimony?
How do other members of the board feel about that?
I'd support it.
Well, if we're going to do that, we may as well just
admit
it
and say that we don't want to read it.
But how does the issuing authority feel about submission of late testimony like this, late evidence?
I'm just concerned. Again, he said, I'm concerned with his testimony today. He said that the gun was not in the room where his son sleeps. He admitted in the police report dated December 27, 2015, the officer stated he admitted the gun was in his son's room. Now he's saying it wasn't in his son's room, it was a guest room. So I'm concerned about the story changing. Why did he admit that to the Fairfield police officer, that the gun was in his son's room? It had a magazine, it was loaded with a magazine, but he doesn't keep one in the chamber. That doesn't make it any better that it was there. I'm just concerned about everything. As far as the medical treatment, we've had no contact with him. He's had these problems. I don't know what he's been doing in his life from that point to now. I know that the hearing gets delayed because of a backlog. But I'm in my 47th year as a police officer. I was in Bridgeport for 26 years. I've been the chief of police in Plymouth for 20. And because somebody does well for a while doesn't necessarily mean that they're okay. And I'm just concerned about all the past things that happened. He turned his pistol permit in, so he was told by the trooper that it was in violation, so he had to know it was revoked. And this did not come from his ex-wife that it was revoked. It came from NCIC when the officer called and dispatch told him it's been revoked. So his ex-wife had nothing to do with saying it was revoked. So I'm concerned about the inconsistencies now, so it's kind of carrying on from what happened then. And I stand by this decision. I don't believe he should be receiving the state pistol permit.
Yeah, and when a permit's revoked, the SLFU sends a letter. Now, maybe the address was a problem because we still really haven't nailed down where you live. But they would send a letter saying that you are revoked and you have to turn in your guns or whatever.
There was no letter.
And he did turn everything. He turned his pistol permit and his weapons to the trooper and the state firearms.
At all, for the record, whatever investigation, the background that may have been done, and maybe this is more of a question, but it's stated that the state or the town gave those firearms back.
Yes.
After whatever they had to do in the background.
Yes, sir.
So I think we've had several examples of, I mean, maybe offering to the board, several examples of revocations that, whether that letter was received or not, the clarity in the suggestion that your permit's been revoked, and just you say, hey, give me your guns, you put them on the table, they take them, that's it. You know, so revocation, I understand where we're going, but I also understand the appellant's position that they asked me, I gave them back, and then they returned them to me after a duration of time.
Yes, sir.
I guess the question was, do you have an objection to that letter from the psychiatrist or treater?
You should want to see it first.
Well, yeah, obviously you would get to see it first.
I don't have an objection. If you want to enter it in, you can enter it, but should I just read it now and make a decision here?
Yes, sir.
If you want to object, it sounds like that. Yeah, just if you want to object. And then it's still up to the chair if she wishes to allow it or not.
This is why we require the evidence to come in 10 days.
Your objection can't be on content, because you're obviously carefully reading that. It could be on just the timeliness. You didn't get a chance to review it beforehand also. Or not, or you can say it's fine.
I haven't even gotten through it. I mean, I would say right now on the objection on timeliness, because I would really like to dissect this and have time to look at this and compare what he's saying here as opposed to all the police reports he gave, and I don't have that opportunity to do it now, so I think that's kind of unfair to the issuing authority.
I agree. I will not take that into
account. I don't want to take any more of your time and finish it. There's already some inconsistencies in here that I can see in the report, so.
So it will not be admitted into evidence.
Fair enough.
A final statement?
Again, I stand by my decision. I understand he's probably turned his life around, but I'm just concerned about all the seriousness of what happened. He claims he didn't take any oxycodone, which he did. He did take that, prescribed or not. Did he have a dependency on it? You know, that's up to a medical doctor to decide. But I'm just concerned about the continuous for 19 contacts over all those years protective order, and I just, I am not comfortable with getting the pistol permit as issued.
Attorney Cummings?
Yes, briefly. Again, as I said in my opening statement, I think Mr. Veda was going through a very tumultuous time during his divorce, and a tremendous misuse of Fairfield Police Department resources, for sure. I think he got bad advice during that time. None of these things should have happened. There was no violence that occurred during any of these incidents, and there were no arrests during any of them either. Now that his divorce is over, there has been zero involvement of any police department in any capacity at all, and by all means, Mr. Veda is what I believe to be a good candidate for a pistol permit, and we'll respect the obligations.
Thank you. Summary?
Sure. This is a denial by the Plymouth Police Department. The denial is for suitability. The basis of the denial was approximately 19 police contacts from a period of December of 2015 through May of 2022 between the appellant and his now ex-wife. They were both complaints and cross-complaints on both sides. These included one incident in which it appears from the documentation that appellant's pistol permit was revoked. There was one protective order issued against the appellant. There was also an incident in which the appellant was taken to the hospital on a peer report. The last incident was May of 2022. The appellant has been over, it's been approximately 3 years now in which the appellant has had no issues with any type of police encounters, it seems, since the divorce has been finalized. The appellant has had no issues.
Thank you. Comments from the board?
As a chief, the letter was amazing. The detail provided was painted a pretty solid depiction of what you were going to offer today. Didn't really consider what the appellant would bring to the table, but from my perspective, I believe the appellant's 60-something years old?
66.
Okay. 66 years old, no arrest, tough divorce period. I don't know what that's like, but I can go either way on this one with the circumstances.
Other comments from the board? I'm asking for a vote, starting with Colonel Overturf today.
I'm going to vote for the issuing authority at this time.
Colonel Lewis?
Issuing authority.
Chief Rosensweig?
Issuing authority.
Mr. Gray?
Appellant.
Attorney Civetti?
Given the fact that this was a protracted domestic situation taking place over a number of years, a lot of conflicts going on there at the time, I certainly think it could, use the expression, drive someone to drink at the time. That's over. I think that's in the past. There are some good letters in the file attesting to his current character, so I'm going to vote for the appellant.
Dr. Conrad?
Appellant. Appellant.
So we have three appellant. Three issuing authority.
It's up to the chair.
And the chair votes for the issuing authority because there are too many vague uncertainties here. I would think that another couple of years or a year or more of no problems, we might see you again.
Thank you.
Thank you all for your time.
Thank you.